All right. Now then, as you can see from the fact that there is no scripture or sermon title, is that God didn't tell me anything until this morning. So, but we're good. We're good. He always comes through. I didn't worry about it. Every once in a while, he just likes to keep me on my toes. So I would ask you to stand as you are able, and you can turn in your pew Bible, if you like, to Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to start with the 24th verse, and when you get there, say amen. No, the 8th chapter, 24th verse. Okay, I don't hear any more pages turning. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is the last of our series on prayer and having your prayers answered. And so let's just kind of do a little bit of a recap first of where we have been. Let's read together the definitions of faith and providence. Faith, confidence, trust, belief in God, His promises, and principles that guide our actions. Providence, God's foreknowledge, overarching plan, and power. Now, we have talked about when God answers our prayers, yes, is when providence and faith are in one accord. When everything is just as it should be, and God says, yeah, let's do that. And it's all in one accord. However, there are times when God says no. And that is when our faith, that which we desire, and providence are at odds with each other. And God then says no, as all good parents do. Because so many times the parent can see what the child cannot. And then the hard one, when God says to wait, when providence and faith are moving together, but they're just not quite there yet. When we have to have the right time and the right circumstances, because remember, it's not just all about us. There's an entire world, an entire universe that God is seeing after. And what happens in our life always touches other lives. So when we want something, we sometimes have to wait. Right time, right circumstances, and in some cases, there is spiritual warfare going on. Because let's face it, folks, there is a devil, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And there is a battle in the heavenlies for the souls of humankind. And then we talked about the hindrances and helps that we have with our prayers. One of the helps that we have is we have to be righteous. It said the prayer of the righteous is powerful. So righteousness is being in right relationship with other people and being in right relationship with God. Now, how are we in right relationship with other people? Yeah, invite people to church. No grudges. No bitterness. all forgiveness, love them, and in some cases, love them anyway. Being in right relationship with others means that as far as it is possible with you to live peaceably with all. How do you be in right relationship with God? Prayer, staying in touch. How else? Worship. Study His Word. Be with Him daily. Obey. There's a big one. Without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. To be in right relationship with God, you have to be living by His precepts. You know, everything that He gave us to live by. You know, the rules, if you want to call them that. The ways that we can live with Him and with each other rightly are all for our benefit. Everything that God tells us to do or tells us not to do is strictly for our good. And when we violate those, we harm ourselves and we harm others. And we are out of right relationship. So, in as far as is possible for us, we live in right relationship with others peaceably and in right relationship with God. That means we can reach a point, what we call perfection, where we never knowingly sin. You will never reach a state of total sinlessness on this planet. But you can reach the point where you never knowingly sin. John Wesley called that sanctification. Becoming holy. It can be done. We talked about another help to our prayers last week, which we said that prayer is a form of worship. And if we're going to worship, we need to worship in spirit and in truth, meaning our spirit communing with God's spirit and truth, total truth, because there's no point in trying to hedge it around with God. You might fool some of the people some of the time, but you're never going to fool God ever. Be truthful. He can handle it. It's not like He didn't already know, okay? He can handle the truth, and He wants you to tell the truth. Prayer is an offering, and that offering needs to be as blessed and holy as the offerings that they offered under the old covenant. It needs to be nurtured by faith, needs to be as blemish-free as possible. And those things help our prayers. But today we're going to talk about what I think is the hardest thing for me most of the time, which is when I don't know what to pray for. How do you pray when you don't know what to pray for? I've heard so many people through the years go, I don't know what to pray for in this situation. I don't know what to pray for. You know, someone you love is in pain. And, you know, you don't know if it's their time to go on and be with the Lord or if it's, you know, the will of God for them to stay here. You always want the person you love to be nearby physically. But you don't know how to pray. What do you do in the hard times when you have physical and mental suffering or a difficult decision to make? How do you know how to pray? Should I take this job or that job? Should I live here? Should I live there? Should I marry this person or not marry this person? Should I have children? If so, how many? Big decisions. Do you know how to pray in those situations? You know, it would be perfect if we knew God's will. You know, it would just be so great if you know, the bush would burn and the voice of God would come out of it and he would say, "This is my will." Now, we probably still wouldn't do it, but at least we would know. But we can't always tell what God's will is. We live in kind of this fog sometimes, where you can't see the forest for the trees kind of thing, or you've got this going on and you just don't see clearly. And by the way, when you're really upset, seeing clearly is almost impossible. Just almost impossible. So since we cannot see God's will all the time, since not everything is covered specifically by Scripture, I mean, Scripture tells us, you know, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the earth, and it talks about caring for parents. And you want to do that to the best of your ability, but what do you do when you have an elderly parent where you have to make a decision about their care? Where you want what is actually best. You want what's best, but you don't know what's best. What do? The scripture that we read this morning says, don't freak out. Okay, that's a loose translation. But, you know, don't freak out, because the Spirit of God will intercede for you. And the Spirit will pray God's will even when you don't know God's will. Thank you, Lord. Because wouldn't it be awful if we got everything we asked for? When we don't see clearly at all. We see through the glass darkly, as the Bible says. And so since we don't see it, the Spirit prays God's perfect will, because the Spirit of God is interceding for us. Sometimes it's how we're praying, and the Spirit can act as our interpreter. How many of you have actually had to been to a foreign place where they didn't speak your language and had to use an interpreter? Anybody? Yeah, a few of us have had to do that. One of the weirdest things was when I was teaching in Africa and I had to take, you know, speak in these little short bursts and then leave, you know, let somebody interpret that. And you're always wondering, you know, if that's getting through clearly. Because a lot depends on the interpreter as to what actually goes through. But the Holy Spirit is our interpreter. The Holy Spirit looks at what we intend, not what we say, but what we intend. He looks at our heart, and he looks at the mind of God, and he brings those two together. That perfect interpretation. I am so glad that the Spirit does that. Because let me tell you, my words so often are inadequate to what I mean. And there are some things, folks, that just don't have human words. But it says that the Spirit speaks in sighs. In some of your translations, it'll say groanings. The Spirit will speak in those sighs that are so deep that we cannot understand, but God does. The Spirit prays for us, interprets our heart. And the best news of all is even when you're praying for the wrong thing, the Spirit will step in and pray for the right thing. Those times when you think you know what God wants, and you definitely know what you want, and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and it is not what you ought to be praying for, the Spirit steps in and prays for the right thing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because sometimes I know I've prayed for the wrong thing. There's some things we absolutely know, but there's so much that we don't. And we know what we want, and it seems logical that that would be what God wants. And we pray for the wrong thing. But you don't have to worry about that, because as a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, folks, and the Holy Spirit will pray for that right thing. It's like he steps in front of our prayers and says, you know, they mean well. You know, I know that the Holy Spirit has in many, many times just stood in front of me and said, well, you know, God, she means well. You know, this is just, sometimes it's ignorance, sometimes it's just stupid. Let's be honest. You know, sometimes it's ignorance, which you can do something about, and sometimes it's stupid, and you can't fix stupid. But the Holy Spirit then will stand in front of me and pray with intelligence and grace and will pray for the right thing. Now, sometimes we wouldn't want him to do that because we want what we want. But I would rather have the Spirit pray for me than anything I could do by myself. The Holy Spirit assists our prayers. You know, I think I would never have the courage to pray if he didn't. If it was all on me, could I even muster up enough courage to open my mouth before God? But it's not. The Spirit can get my intentions correct. The Spirit can get my words correct. The Spirit can even correct what I'm thinking and lay my petitions and my inadequate thanksgivings and all of those things before God the Father. Imperfection. You know, one of the things that some of you really fear is to pray publicly. You know, there's some of y'all, if I said, would you pray for us, you'd pass out dead on the floor. You know, no, I can't do that. Well, I've got news for you, none of us can. It's never on us. That's the beauty of prayer, is no matter what, the Spirit prays in perfect communion with God the Father and God the Son. So pray without ceasing. Never fear prayer. Never fear to pray when you're mad at God. Believe me, he can handle it. He won't strike you for it. You know, you don't kill your children just because they're having a little temper tantrum. You can always pray. You can always be heard, and be heard perfectly. Praise be to God. What I hope has come to you out of this series is a deeper relationship with God the Father. I believe that's why he laid this series on my heart, was so that he would hear from you a little more often. Because being with you is his heart's desire. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.